Good evening.
Good evening.
And how is everyone? This is our second meeting in the year of 2007. And I think that's absolutely exciting. So many years ago, an investment person said to me, by the year 2005, you will already have retired and you will have X amount of dollars if you keep up with this investment plan. And I said to myself, that was in the early 70s. And I said to myself, oh, no, 30-some years. I could not comprehend 37 years. And here it is. Already it goes by. Life goes by so quickly, people. We think it's going to drag along. We think we have a lot of time here on this plane of action. And we do not, regardless if we live to be 100. It's a very short time. And what I will tell you is, the older you get, the faster time goes by. So, learn to live your life while you have it, and live it full out each and every day, because it goes so quickly. And try to make each and every day not only count, but be joyful and have fun in your life and in the days of your life, because it's a precious, precious gift that we have been given, and it goes so quickly, and we sometimes do not realize that or appreciate what a wonderful experience we are actually having here. If you look at this as a vacation, or if you look at this as an amusement park, you can change your whole life by doing that. You have to realize that you're going to live for an eternity, that you always were and that you always will be, that there is no such thing as an end. There is no such thing, good evening, of what we call death. There's merely a transition going on, and we will change form, but we will continue. So enjoy this form that you have taken. This form that we have is made through consciousness. Everything is made through consciousness. Your next form you will make also through consciousness. It will be different from this form, but it will continue. So while you have these wonderful things that we call bodies, or we call human bodies, learn to appreciate them, learn to use them correctly, and life will just be wonderful for you. We have a magnificent opportunity here, and we have been gifted with so many things. We are so blessed, and this thing that we call God truly does love us more than we can understand. We are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. And we have to know that every moment of every day. To know that we matter, that we count, that this thing that we call God would be incomplete without us. These are the things, these are the thoughts to run through your head each and every day. You know, it says in the Bible, I think it was Peter who said it, it may have been Paul, I get those two confused. Learn to pray without ceasing. Well, praying does not mean all the time folding your hands and down on your knees or doing treatment work. Prayer is merely thinking, and thinking good thoughts about yourself and about the universe. That's praying without ceasing. So learn to do that. Learn to keep good thoughts going through your minds, through your consciousness. We have that choice in life to think the thoughts that we want to think. So learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. And you will discover that everything changes. You will change, and everything around you will change. And it just makes life so much better and so much easier for you when you do just those simple things. But that's good news, but it's not the good news that I wanted to tell you tonight. The good news that I want to tell you tonight is that each and every one of us is a unique individual, that we are all individualized expressions of the one mind, or we're individualized expressions of God. That's why we can say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. The world does not want you to know that you're unique. The world wants to lump you with everybody else and tell you that all human beings do this, 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 or all human beings have to have this, this, and this. And especially in this town that we live in, the outside world, or what I call race mind, wants to constantly compare you with somebody else and tell you that you do not live up to the standard, especially in the industry. You must be thin. You must be handsome. You must be beautiful. You must be tall. All the different things that the world tells you. Don't believe any of that. Learn to see yourself as absolutely unique. And never compare yourself with anybody. Everybody is unique. Everybody is different. There has never been anyone like you. There'll never be anyone like you. So you cannot compare yourself to other people. You cannot say to yourself, well, I wish I was as handsome as that person or this person, or I listen to the news and you have to be this and that and the other thing. You don't. What you need to do is love your uniqueness and appreciate that you are completely different from anybody else. Yes, we have similarities, and we all have hands and noses and faces and all these different things, but we're all absolutely unique. And our thinking is very similar, but our thinking is also unique. Everyone thinks differently. Everyone learns differently. They're finally figuring that out, that people learn differently. Years ago, if you didn't learn the way they thought you should learn, they didn't think that you were capable of learning. Now we know that that is not true, that people learn in different ways. But all people can learn. All minds can learn. It does not mean, because you cannot do it the same way as somebody else, that it's different. And I hear that all the time. Have I done this correctly? Am I doing this right? You're doing it right for you. You're doing it right for you. Don't compare yourself with other people. If I teach meditation, people say, oh, I can't meditate. I don't know how to meditate. And then when I tell them how to meditate, they say, did I do that right? Well, of course you did it right. You did it your way. It's always right. You're always right. Your way is right. Just because somebody's up as the instructor, you can take advice from them, but you do not have to do it exactly the way they do it. You do not have to do that to yourself. Learn to be unique. Learn to accept your uniqueness and be proud of that and tell yourself every day, I'm so glad that I'm unique, that I'm different. And then never compare yourself with anybody. Never compare yourself with anybody. Who wants everyone to look alike? Wouldn't that be something if we all looked alike? We're unique, and we have to love ourselves for our uniqueness. And they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, which can be true, cannot be true, but you cannot allow the world to tell you what is in fashion and what is not in fashion. And we do that to ourselves. I understand now that there's a new thing out in the modeling world that they are not going to hire all these models that are so thin. And they're going to ask the models that are so thin, they have to have so much fat now on them so that they don't keep getting thinner and thinner. We decided that models should be very thin. we decided that women should be very thin. Do you think that was the case when Rubens' art? No. His women were voluptuous, and everyone wanted that. That was in style then. You see, don't let the world tell you what you should look like, what you should be. You're unique. You're a unique person. The only one. The rarest of the rare. You cannot compare yourself. So celebrate your uniqueness and celebrate it every day. That's not only your physical appearance, but that's your thinking also. Your thinking is unique. Don't think that you have to think what other people are thinking or have the same thoughts as other people. If we say that God is all possibilities, then can't we think differently than other people? If there's all this possibility out there, and if we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God, then why do we want to think like everybody else? Wouldn't you want to go off and find a different way to think for yourself? The world presses down on us all the time. It's always trying to shape us into something to its liking. Don't do that. Don't be sheep. Don't be led around. Be your own self. Be your own self and celebrate that uniqueness. And you'll find that once you accept yourself and really love yourself and accept your uniqueness, the whole world will open up for you. The whole world will open up. And you'll really start to love life. But don't allow your mind to compare you with any other person. That's an impossibility. You have to be your own person. All right? So that's the good news. You are unique. So celebrate your uniqueness. Race mind. A race mind alert this week. What do I have for that? Oh, yes, I have something. Has anyone read about the SS, the USS New York? It's a new battleship they have. They made it from 32 tons of steel from the World Trade Center. The race mind thing is not that. I think that's a wonderful idea. The race mind thing is, the motto is, never forget. That's going to be the motto for the ship. Now, that complete race mind if we never forget these things, they keep repeating themselves. If we never forget, we think that we're justified to go after the terrorists and to do all this. Now, I'm not into terrorism, and I don't recommend it. But we have to look at these things differently, and we have to see what we can do to allow the terrorists to start to see us in a different light. And we have to start to love them, and they have to start to love us. If you love somebody, there can be no terror in it. When you love and really love, there's no terror there. The quickest way to destroy your enemy is to learn to love them. Once you love your enemy, they are no longer your enemy. It's an impossibility. So think of those things. And don't let the world do that to you also. You see, we'll have this great war that we're having now. And we'll kill all these young people. And the war will eventually end. And then to glorify all that, we will build a monument. And we will look at that monument and say, nice monument. Glad we had that war, because now we have a monument. And the war now is justified because we had enough sense to build a monument. Life works that way outside. Race mind works that way. We always kill, and then we build a monument to the killing so that the mind says it's all right. It had to be done. We had to do that. Don't fall for that. I'm not saying tear down monuments, by the way. I'm saying look at that. And it's been repeated in every culture has built a monument over the centuries, over the millennia, to justify the wrongdoing. And then we look at it and we glorify that. And we say, isn't war wonderful? It used to be more so when they had gorgeous costumes to march off to war in. They loved to get all dressed up and go to war with their swords and their bright red and their gold on their shoulders and marvelous costumes to go to war in. People thought, oh, you look so good in your uniform. Have you heard that? He looked so good in his uniform. Great, he's dead. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for those things. Think about it. I think it's great that we have a ship made out of scrap iron from the World Trade Center. I absolutely think that was a horrendous tragedy. And my heart goes out to all the people. But we can't keep hating, or we're just going to keep repeating that. We have to find a way to love. And that's what all life is about. That's what each and every one of our individual life is about. Here on this plane of action, we have to learn to love. And we have to learn to love ourselves. So that's the race mind alert for today. So we'll try to bring this energy up. I didn't want you all to get sad here. It's supposed to be a happy occasion. Always you're supposed to be filled with joy and happiness. So you can look at those things. You don't have to get all sad and downtrodden about them, but you just have to look at them and laugh and say, look what the world does. Look what race mind does. And then decide, do I want to join in on that or don't I? You know, it's the same thing that marches, a march for war. That's march against the war. Well, I'd never march against the war. I'd march in a peace march, but I wouldn't march in a war, you know, because of word war's there. The mind saying, oh, they want war. Think of those things. Think of those things. March for peace. Never march for war or against war. There shouldn't be war. years ago, in the metaphysical movement, at least 100 years ago, a woman stood up at a conference and said, and that was during World War I, by the way, stood up and said, there is no war in the mind of God. And there is no war in the mind of God. There's only war in race mind.
I don't know if I can ask it.
If you can ask it?
Yeah.
You can ask anything.
Well,
I'm the weeds here.
What made you think that it was a symbol to forget terrorism and not forget the love and the contributions that everybody did to save it?
I didn't say any of that.
I know, I'm just saying, what made you think? What made you think that it was a symbol to forget terrorism?
I didn't say that either.
You didn't say that? What did you say?
I said their motto was never forget.
And
I say that is race mind. To never forget something means that you're going to repeat that because it's going to be up all the time in your mind. To erase something from this plane of action, you have to forget and forgive. In your life, if you want your life to be better, you have to forget and forgive. Two main things in life. Otherwise, you carry it with you all the time. God has already forgiven all those people. It's all done. And absolutely forgotten. But we, our little mind, wants to hold on to that and wants to make it the biggest tragedy in the world. See? And it was a tragedy. And it's a shame those people died. But a lot of other people died that day too. And that's what you have to think about. Did that help you? Is anyone else, did I say anything that has somebody confused? I used to make this little disclaimer, and perhaps I'll do it now. The comments that you hear here are not necessarily those of the management. But I make comments. But I'm not sure if they're those of the management. Mm-hmm. With that said, we'll continue. Are you all right with everything now? Everyone all right? These are just things to think about and look at, you see. I'm trying to reach a point in my life where nothing that happens bothers me. Nothing that happens bothers me. Things just happen, and you have to look at them and decide where you're going to go from there. I guess what I'm really saying, don't jump on the bandwagon with everybody else and start clanging the sabers. When we do that, before you learn anything about Christianity or any of the other religions that people are born into that are going on here, before you realize any of that, you have already been taught and already have absorbed the Hammurabi Law. And the Hammurabi Law is this: an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It has nothing to do with any of the world religions. But we learn that before we learn any religious teachings at all. You absorb the Hammurabi law when you're about this big, and you maintain it. And that is why it's difficult for religions to do what they are supposed to do, because it's already ingrained in people. Okay? I'm trying to bring the group up. I must be going down. Up, 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 people. All right. With that said, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a word for prayer. It's an organized word for prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe already knows about us. We are affirming or reaffirming the good. I'll do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know. I live in an absolutely supportive universe, a wonderful universe, a universe that totally supports me and totally fulfills all my needs. I know perfectly well that God is the source of my well-being, that God is the source of all. And I accept that right here and right now. And with that, I accept all the abundance and prosperity and money. I allow myself to let money freely flow in my life. I open every channel. I accept money from every channel because I realize that I am worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And I love it. And I love my life. And I let that be so. And so it is. Are people still doing affirmations? It was talked about for the new year. Okay. Affirmations absolutely work. So use them. You will see a change in yourself. It's just a way of reprogramming all your faulty thinking. We have been programmed all our life by other people. And of course, by what we call race mind, which is the news media, which is the television, which is all the stuff outside of this room. So it's time for us now to put into this mind of ours, which is a computer, all the good stuff that we want to know about ourselves, and take that little delete button and press it every time something comes up that we don't like, that goes through our minds, just delete it and let it go. Throw it in the trash barrel. That is the way you train your mind so that you're able to think what you want to think instead of allowing random things to just come through your mind all the time. Random things will come through your mind. It does not mean that you have to do anything with them. Every time you have a thought does not mean that you have to act on that thought. For some reason, people have been trained to think, well, I thought it and I must do something about it. No, you may not. You can choose what you want to act on and what you don't. And if you don't like the thoughts that are going through your mind, tell your mind, I don't like these thoughts. Please give me better thoughts. Give me different thoughts. Give me thoughts that only heal, bless, and prosper me. I don't want all this other garbage going on in my mind. Your mind will eventually do that for you, but it takes diligence. We have to discipline the mind. We are not used to doing that. And we have to realize that we are not our minds. Our minds can be controlled, and they are controlled by what we call our true selves, or if you want to call it spirit, I don't care what you call it. You have to realize that you are not your mind and you are not your thoughts. You are always much more than that. And you can detach yourself from your mind and from your thoughts, and you can see how the whole thing works, and you can decide to change those things. It's an easy process. It does take some diligence. And you will go back again, and you just correct that till it no longer does that to you. They have proven that there are grooves in the mind, and we keep going to the same groove because it takes the route of least resistance. And that's why you keep thinking the same thought, because a groove has come there. Just hit yourself on the head, that's what I do, and knock it out of that groove. Because you don't want to keep thinking the same thoughts. This is a new year. And if you want to be new in this year, you have to start thinking different thoughts. And you have to start thinking different thoughts about yourself. Henry David Thoreau said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. A man is what he thinks about all day long. He also said, a man is more than what is under his hat. And we are always more than we think we are. So go for that. Go for the idea that you're more than you think you are. And learn to think different thoughts. Tonight's title, talk title, is causes. What causes what? Where are all these causes? All causes start in your mind. There are no causes on this plane of action. We say in this teaching that there's no such thing as chance or accident. But when we have an accident, everyone wants to know what caused it. If you have a car accident, you say, well, the other person drove in front of me and caused this accident. And that looks like that's true. And the world certainly wants to make that true because we have what's called insurance companies. And they have to be able to blame somebody for the accident so that people get paid. But all thoughts, all accidents, anything that's happening, first occurs in mind. And then it manifests itself on this plane of action. All things start in consciousness and then take form. They take different forms. So if something is going on in your life, the cause is always the thinking process. So if you can correct your thinking, you can correct all the causes in your life instead of blaming it on something else. And we start out usually by blaming other people. And when we first get started with causes and so forth, we look at ourselves and we say, I am the way I am because my parents caused me to think this way. Or they did this to me and that causes me to be the way I am today. And that's a wonderful tool to use, too, because then that gives you, gives all the psychiatrists in the world, that gives them a living. So if you want to pay them, keep thinking that that's the cause and keep going to them, and they'll keep collecting your money. But that is not what it is. It's always in consciousness. It's always in your mind, which is causing something. If your mother body trains you at an early age and you think that's why you do whatever you do, I don't know what the symptoms are of that, you're blaming potty training and your mother on that. Well, that's nonsense. And I'll give you a quick story. I was in Monte Carlo at a cafe, and an English woman was talking to an American woman, and they had known each other for some time. And they were both in the service. And they were both the husband was, the husbands were there too. And they had been in the service, now these were older people, by the way, in India, which they called Inja or something. Anyway, they went on about the whole thing, and the English woman said, do you have pictures of your grandchildren? And of course, the American woman immediately pulled out a great big thing that just went down with all the grandchildren. So the American woman says to the English woman, do you have any pictures of grandchildren? She said, oh no, I don't have any pictures of my grandchildren. Then she said, well, what are your grandchildren's names? She said, their names, their names. She had to ask her husband what their names are. She says, you know, we don't have them to dinner very much because they have to eat early and we don't eat till 8 o'clock. And I absolutely refuse to to change my whole life over to what the child wants. She said, the whole world does that. America does that. Europe does not do that. But here's the little thing that she said. So she said, the American woman said, I'm having some trouble with my daughter. And she says, her psychiatrist said, it's because I potty trained her too long. The English woman had a lorgnette. Do you know what they are? The glasses on a stick. She pulled them up and she looked at the woman and she said, sounds like an American idea to me. That's all that is, people, is an idea. It's only an idea. There's no proven basis whatsoever. But yet we go around thinking that it's a proven thing, and we think it's a cause. And we're told if you go to the right doctor that that's the cause of your problem. It's not the cause of your problem. The cause of your problem is always in consciousness. Always in consciousness. It's always with what you are thinking. And it's what you are thinking about yourself. And if you repeat it long enough, yes, it sounds very good, and it certainly sounds true. But it's not true. It doesn't matter what your parents did. It matters what you think. And you can change your thinking. And say, I'm delighted that I was potty trained early. And so I think this is causing this, 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 and this. It's merely an idea. Most things that we know, most things that we think are true, are only ideas. And they've been said long enough that we start to believe that they're true. And they're not true. And in your lifetime, you have accepted many things that you thought were true. And you acted on those things as though they were true. And then you find out, guess what? We've changed our minds. This is not true anymore. And then you start to think the new thought and the new thing. All things change. Nothing is concrete. And we find out new things every day. And there's tons of information that we don't have. Tons of information takes at least 10 years to filter down to the public. At least 10 years. So you can be having the wrong information and the wrong facts for 10 years before it filters down and changes. But yet we think those ideas and those facts and stuff are causing something. They're not causing anything. They're not causing anything. I have cousins, a man and a woman, their own TV sets. And they both watch the stock market. It's the first thing they do every morning. Different channels. And they determine their day on what's going to happen on the stock market and how much money they made or how much money they lost. And they're allowing that to be a cause in their life and determining what they're going to do that day. The stock market can cause nothing. Stocks do not go up and down because of what we call the economy. Stocks go up and down because of consciousness. Because of consciousness. If you spread a rumor that a stock is about ready to split, that goes into consciousness. And it causes the stock market to go up and down. But the stock market doesn't cause anything. There is no cause outside of mind. There is no cause outside of mind. And this thing that we call God, we always call first cause. Because God, the power, the consciousness, is causing. It's the first cause. When we have secondary causation, which we do have, and we believe in secondary causation, we make secondary causation first cause. Secondary causation is such things as genes cause disease. That's secondary causation if you believe in that theory, which is only a theory. And it's being disproved as I talk. It was never correctly stated. The reason why we believe that is because newspaper people got it wrong and printed it wrong, and no one corrected it. And now everyone thinks that genes are the cause of things. The original statement was a correlation. There may be a correlation, but they use the word genes cause. And a correlation is merely a correlation. It doesn't mean that it causes a damn thing. But it was printed wrong years ago. You can look this up, by the way. I don't make this stuff up. And find that out for yourselves. But for causes, the cause in your life, what is causing your life, is your thinking. You may think it's your background. You may think that it's your parents. If anyone in here is still holding anything against their parents, give that ridiculous idea up. You must never take anything that your parents did or said to you personally. They would have done it to anybody. They would have done it to anybody. They did the very best they knew how to do. But they're not causing anything now. Your thinking is causing it by thinking that they caused it. Always in your thinking. It's always in your consciousness. Your mind, your consciousness is causing your life. Nothing happens outside of consciousness. Nothing. We believe that there are other factors involved because the world is very convincing. Because the world is very convincing. And it can come up with more reasons why something is happening. But none of it is true. All you ever get from the world are facts. And facts change. You must remain in truth. Remaining in truth is realizing that this thing that we call God is always first cause. It's always first cause. There's a radio on advertisement, and it says, "You've just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Who are you going to trust? What doctor? What hospital?" Who are you going to trust? First cause you're going to trust. Your trust has to always be in God, always in the universe. That's where you go for your trust. See the difference? You always have to remember that. But the world wants to tell you, go to the City of Hope. and they'll take care of you because they have laparoscopic surgery now. Very little invasive. You get healed very fast. You don't. There's not one doctor alive that knows how to heal. There's not one doctor alive that knows how to heal. They know healing takes place, but they do not know how healing takes place. But the universe and this thing we call God knows exactly how to do that. And the universe and this thing we call God is operating through you right here and right now. In every cell of your body. That means that every cell of your body has intelligence, and it has the intelligence of God, and it knows exactly how to heal you, how to close up a wound. Has anyone ever had a small scratch or cut on their hand? How does a cut on your hand heal? From the inside out. All things, all life starts on the inside and moves outward. All healing starts on the inside and moves outward. You watch it cut, and it absolutely heals from the inside out. But there is no one who knows how that's done. No one. You can watch it, you can see it. We have no idea how that's done. But First Cause knows exactly. And when you go to First Cause, do that with your toe. It'll heal very quickly. Things heal very quickly. I do a wonderful affirmation. My body does not scar. I have no scars on my body, and I've had tons of cuts. Big ones. I don't believe in scars. Try these things. Cut yourself. if you happen to cut yourself, know that it's going to heal right away from the inside out. And know that this thing that we call God can heal a cut, and you believe in that, and you watch that cut, then there is nothing that this power cannot do, because God does not know the difference between big and small. God does not know the difference between a cut finger and cancer. Only we know that. And only our consciousness and our belief causes what's going on. So use your minds, use your consciousness, and don't look for causes outside yourself. When you no longer look for causes outside of yourself, you have total freedom. You have total freedom. It makes life much easier. You don't have to sit and go through a list of what caused this, who caused this. You go, my thinking caused it. Well, simple, I'll change it. Now, isn't that easier than sitting around thinking what caused it? Try that with your mind once. Ask what caused it, and it'll just spit out nothing but ream after ream after ream after ream of paper. But if you know immediately what caused it, it stops right there and you can change it. You can change it. But race mind in the world is very convincing and it wants to move in. You see, race mind never wants you to take responsibility for anything. It wants you to always blame the other person. And to blame something outside of yourself. So that it can keep you in turmoil all the time. It also keeps lawyers in business, by the way. If you blame other people. so. You see, most of the things that we learn, that the world teaches us, that race mind teaches us, is to keep the economy going. Supports a lot of professions and supports a lot of people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But know that that's what's going on. And in your own life, know that it's your consciousness that is causing everything. That it's your consciousness that is causing everything in your life. And when I say everything in your life, I mean everything in your life. Your car is an extension of your consciousness. Everything in your home is an extension of your consciousness. Everything. When something happens to the car, it has to be because of your consciousness. The world wants to tell you something else. This is 2007. And this is the year that you can take responsibility for your own lives without any blame, shame, or guilt. Take that responsibility and feel all the freedom that you can have. Absolute freedom, and you can give up all that other garbage of blaming or trying to find a cause outside of yourself. It takes an awful lot of energy and an awful lot of mental work to do that, where you could be using your mind for creativity and for building a wonderful life for yourself, instead of sitting pondering all these causes and trying to figure out what happened to you. Why am I the way I am? You're the way you are because of your thinking. Point blank, that's it. Nothing else. We're always who we are because of our thinking. It has nothing to do with lineage. It has nothing to do with family. It has nothing to do with the area that you were born into. It has to do with your thinking. It has to do with your thinking. And if your mind is telling you it's something else, that's a trick that the mind is playing on you to keep you where you are, to keep you from being happy, from keeping you from having what you want. Because the race mind, which is part of our thinking, does not want you to know who you are and does not want you to have what you want to have. So it throws up all these things and you say, well, I could be that way and I could have that, but you know, my parents did this to me and I don't have money and I came from the wrong side of the track. Bullshit. Out and out bullshit. Give it up, people. Give it up. And say to yourself, I can take that responsibility. Therein lies the freedom. And I can become the person that I want to become by changing my mind about myself and start to love yourself. Know that you're worthy and deserving. And you'll change and your whole life will change. But cause is always in consciousness. It's always in your thinking. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.